And now let's spend some time with the story of Casey Tibbs. On this week's Images of the Past, we take a look at the film career of South Dakota's rodeo cowboy. With us for that is Cindy Bahi. She's director of the Casey Tibbs South Dakota Rodeo Center in Fort Pierce. Cindy, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you.
So let's start with the exhibit itself. You've got something new, and it's about the movies.
We do. We have a lot of things having to do with film. I think a lot of people know about Casey's rodeo career, and he's a 9-time world champion, but after his rodeo career kind of faded out, he went on to appear in several Hollywood films, TV shows, and his life was he was a very charismatic person, and so he kind of fit right in with that. And this also highlights his film career as a stuntman.
Where did he make those kind of connections? What were his early entries into the film world?
Oh, boy. Hard to say. He was his life. He was so thrust into fame so fast, and everybody wanted to be his friend. And he started being a stuntman in several films. Actually, a little known fact is he ended up being, he was kind of a person that John Wayne would tap into as a technical person when he wanted to produce realistic Western films. Casey was his right-hand man and was always there to make sure that everything looked real.
Interesting. So tell me about your facility itself and where the exhibit sort of fits into the overall mission.
Okay. Casey Tibbs wanted this rodeo center to be built to not just honor him, but all rodeo greats. And as rodeo is the state of South Dakota state sport, it kind of fits right in, and we're kind of right in the middle of the state, and rodeo is very heavy up here. But we also highlight, we have Maddie Goff Newcomb, who is a trick rider. We've got 18 of the South Dakota world champs that are highlighted. We have a 40-foot mural that was painted by an artist up here. We've got a virtual bronc, a little bit of everything up here.
Let's go back and talk about Casey Tibbs on the rodeo circuit when he was just 14 years old and his relationship with his father. Tell me a little bit of that dynamic and that story.
Right. Casey was born in they were very, very poor, so he was born in a meager log cabin about 50 miles northwest of Fort Pierce. He really wanted to ride in rodeos, and his father just kept telling him that anybody that participated in rodeos were bums and there's no future, no money in it. Casey still had a love and involvement with rodeo and horses, and he went ahead and got into rodeo at age 14, and his father told him if he sees his spurs in his pickup truck, he's not allowed to come home, and he meant what he said, and he was not allowed to return back home. Therefore, at age 14, if you could imagine that, Casey was out on his own.
Seems like a pretty harsh consequence there.
Yeah. You know, they ended up kind of making amends down the road. At 19, just 4-5 years later, he ended up being the youngest man ever to win the National Saddle Bronc Riding Crown, and then 8 more afterwards. So I think, I don't know if he wanted to prove his father wrong, or he was a natural. It came easy for him, but like I said, he was thrust into a very fast life of fame.
Yeah, so what do we know about him then in his teenage years, sort of being on his own? Where was he staying, and how was he sort of building the reputation and the skills and the competitive chops to be successful?
He would break horses for a living, for his bread and butter, so to speak. I know we've heard stories that he would float from ranch to ranch and help people out, and people would kind of take him under his wing. There's a lot of that story that we don't know about that's coming out in the film Floating Horses, The Life of Casey Tibbs, that we think it should be done this November or December.
Who's making that?
Justin Kaler. He's originally from Midland, and he's a film producer that lives in Colorado now.
Oh, that will be an interesting story to hear more about, too. You said that he and his father maybe made amends or reconciled. How did that that process play out? Do you know?
They ended up making amends. It was probably a strained relationship after that, even still. And Casey went on to, as with anybody that acquires fame so fast, he had a lot of highs and lows. I mean, he got into gambling, fast life, women, liked to pull pranks, loved life, and lived life to its fullest. Well, on the other side, he was a huge philanthropist, and he visited children in hospitals. He gave a lot of his items away. So out in the world, there are a lot of items of Casey Tibbs somewhere.
And what were some of his relationships with John Wayne and others in Hollywood? What do we know about those?
Yeah, like I said, he was John Wayne's right-hand man when it came to making his films realistic. He was also, I'm just going to throw out a couple names. I think a lot of people recognize Slim Pickens, Fred McMurray, Richard Farnsworth, Ben Johnson, Joel McRae, Rex Allen. And he was also provided stunts for a film with Glenn Ford and Henry Ford. So he got to know a lot of people.
Wow. What kind of artifacts do you have in this exhibition that that you have there in Fort Pierre?
We have a lot of the covers of the movies that he was in, either as a stuntman and or an actor. We have the original film tins that we found that were left in a box before Casey left for Japan. He gave some of his original reel-to-reel films to a friend of his, and we through this interview with a producer, he found them, brought them back to South Dakota. They were never played. They were in mint condition, and we have those on display as well.
Are they playable, do you think?
We had one of them converted over to a DVD.
Wow.
They're expensive to do,
right?
but they're in mint condition, yeah.
Is this film career something that a lot of people knew about him, or is it more of a, you know, a lesser-known story of his?
I think a lot of his shots were more cameo, and then, of course, the stunt riding, a lot of that would be in the backgrounds.
Sure.
His closest friends knew, but I think a lot of the people in South Dakota don't know much about his film career.
I think the stunt riding is pretty compelling to me. I'd like to know more, you know, more about that when you watch those movies now. Was he married? Did he have a family of his own?
He got married to Miss Rodeo South Dakota, Cleo Harrington, and they were married for, I believe, 8 or 9 years, and what they deemed in Hollywood was that was a record for a marriage to last in Hollywood, even way back then.
Wow.
He does have a daughter by another woman, and he ended up passing away when he lived in California.
Sure. What do we know about him as a father, since he had such an interesting father figure of his own?
I think he was so busy. He had so many irons in the fire. He was so in demand. He would literally jump in an airplane and fly from rodeo to rodeo, sometimes doing 2 or 3 rodeos in a day. So, you know, I couldn't really tell you much, you know, about his life as a father.
What's his legacy in South Dakota today for young rodeo aspiring boys and girls?
You know, he's just unmatched. His first world champ was at age 19, and they say that he was a natural. He just floated with the horse, and there's very rarely any air in between his body and the saddle, and he kind of just became one with them. I don't think we've ever seen anybody like him before. And in the film, you'll see a lot of the footage that has never been seen before.
Mm-hmm. Cindy Bahe is the director of the Casey Tibbs South Dakota Rodeo Center in Fort Pierre. Cindy, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.